You are listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system. On RadioAryan.com.
I think they're getting out of hand. Well, you know what happened to those who complain. We've got to stop them seeing light. Let them think it's all right, 'cause the fireworks aren't to keep them entertained. Well, the wells have not run dry. Do we really need to lie? We'll say it's a national emergency. We're set a wedding full of clowns, and we'll kick them while they're down. Get the banks control, 'cause they are to me. Let's go and find a better place. We'll call it New America. Won't it be a lovely place to be? Imperial material, the mind of New America, the best idea since democracy.
Hello and welcome once again to the Roper Report, Billy's Balkanization Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Billy Roper, right here on Radio Aryan for the Shieldwall Network. Now, this week's episode of the Roper Report will be something of a departure for us as we leave off further political commentary to honor the noble death of the 4chan trolling effort of the controlled media and the ADL about Nicolas de Jesus Cruz having been a white nationalist. Now that it's been revealed and admitted by CNN and the Times of Israel that the Parkland, Florida school shooter is a Jew, his birth mother being fully kosher. So, I offer to you the first presentation given at the February 17th, 2018 Shieldwall Network meeting in North Central Arkansas. As we're a white nationalist preppers collective at core, this talk for our Shieldwall Network meeting focuses on a means of long-term sustainable survivalism, as will one on a different topic, which I'll share with you next week. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I've written a few things down here that I would like to just share with everybody about some of my knowledge, my little knowledge that I have about grafting and propagating fruit trees, which can apply to any type of fruit tree. It's not just an apple tree. I focus on apples because that's what I like, which you can use the same things for peaches, maybe a little bit different, but basically it's all the same. But a good place to start, I guess, would be when you buy an apple tree from a Home Depot or Lowe's, whatever it may be, you're buying a cloned plant. It's not a plant it's a plant that they've grown the bottom part of the plant. Some people may know this, but a lot of people don't. The bottom half of the plant is a rootstock, and the top half is a clone. Basically, they're both clones, but the rootstock is produced for productivity in a farm setting. The trees that you buy are not, I would say they're not, they may be quality to do with production, like on farms, like they call a semi-dwarf tree or a dwarf tree. That tree is not going to live very long, and it may not do very good in all environments. So, you're buying a mass produced tree that's been, studied and, it's best, suited for like an orchard where they're going to go out there and harvest it maybe with equipment or something. That's how that tree's been manufactured like that. When what I'd like to, for people to think about and do is, growing their own trees. Growing your own rootstocks from seed are a good rootstock, and growing trees that's going to last for several years, not just 10 or 15 years, but maybe 80 to 100 years, maybe depending, longer than that. It can be the tree can be passed down as an heirloom thing, to your kids or other people. And one way to do that is, I'm not a speaker, as you may be able to tell, but one way to do that is growing your own rootstocks. You can do that by planting a seed, or if you find a fruit tree that has suckers growing out of the ground, you know, little trees growing out of the roots, you can get those and plant them on your property and grow those up, and then you can graft whatever apple or whatever fruit the tree you're planting, you can graft onto that the varieties that you like, and you can use your rootstocks. You can produce them with a method called stooling, like a stool. You grow a plant, and then you kind of have loose dirt around it, or however you have it made up, but you pile dirt up around the plant, and you cut the plant really close to the ground, and it sprouts out. You know, several limbs come out of that where you've cut it off at, and then you, what they call stooling, you mound the dirt up around those limbs, and they'll root themselves into that, and then you cut those out of there and get those roots, and you'll have, you know, you can reproduce that stock, you know, multiple times. And when you cut it, it actually comes out more and more and more. And every time you stool it, you're going to get more plants. That's how they do it in on an industrial scale. That's how they get most of their rootstocks, is through the stooling process. And it's how a lot of people, you know, made their living off of that. But we can do that basically for free, you know, and we can start our own orchards and our own trees. And through grafting, we can have any variety that we want, you know, on these trees. We can have several different varieties on one tree, but one of the main thing is to get our own system going, you know, our people doing that and planting these trees in different areas. Maybe if you, somebody else has some land and can plant a tree that's going to live a long time. It's going to be very stable. You don't have to worry about it, you know, getting blown over, which anything can be blown over. But, that'd be a resource for us, and a long-term resource. And, you can start your own seeds to start up your base plant, you know, for rootstocks, and you're not going to get a true variety from a seed. So that's where the grafting really comes into play at. If you plant a seed from an apple, you're not going to get the same apple. It's probably going to be a crab apple, or, you know, it may be inedible, maybe good for cider, it may be good for drying, it may be good for, every apple is going to be good for something, but it may not be good necessarily for fresh eating. It may be really good for storage and, you know, survival like that. But when you do that from seed, if you know where there's an apple tree that you like that apple off of, once your seedling grows up, you know, where it's large enough to graft onto it, you take a graft off of that and grow it onto your seedling that you've grown, and you're going to have, say it's a Red Delicious, you're going to have that Red Delicious when you take that clone and put it on your seedling. You're going to essentially turn that tree into a Red Delicious tree. And grafting is really easy. I haven't been doing it long. I've been doing it for 2 years, and I've had a lot of success with it. And, you know, it's kind of some people call it witchcraft. You know, some people still look at it and think, you know, I could never do that. You know, that's some type of magic or something, you know, but it's really, really simple. It's, the art of grafting is, you've got a cambium layer, which is, and it took me a lot of studying to figure out where this cambium layer is. You know, I would cut the tree and insert my little graft or whatever in there, and I'd try to line it up, and it wouldn't work. And, you know, like I heard earlier, nobody has all the knowledge, you know. And I would read these writings of, you know, these educated and, you know, where you get your information from. But where I found out where the cameo layer actually is was from somebody that didn't know anything about it. You know, sometimes you learn from people that don't know what they're doing, you know, because they're making the mistake for you. Yep. And they kept asking this question, you know, and I thought, you know, I don't want to ask dumb questions, but I was reading a blog or something, or a fruit blog. I read those all the time. And I never read this in any professional levels or anything. It was just people talking. And the cambium layer is actually only one cell in thickness, so you can't see it. You're not gonna find it and say that's it, you know, where you can point it out on trees. Now it may not be on everything, but on the trees I'm working with, it's only one cell in thickness. So when you graft and you've got your green layer, wish I had a board to write on, but you've got a green outer layer, you've got your bark that covers everything, and you've got a green layer in between the outside and the hard part of the tree, the wood. You know, when you strip it off, you've got the wood. Well, like say, if a tree was snipping, what they call snipping, and that's very important in grafting, you got to know when your tree is snipping, your bark snipping. When you peel that bark off, that cameo layer is the layer, I'll say invisible layer, that's in between the bark and your hardwood. It's there, and that's where your cells divide at. That's where the tree actually grows from, in that little small area. So when your wood has got, it's kind of different on different trees, but when your sap starts running in the springtime, your tree starts to move, I would say, and starts to grow, that cameo layer is kind of a little more active then. So you take your piece of wood, they call it a scion wood, you take it off of the tree that you want. And you want that to be last year's growth. You don't want to try to graft a 10-year-old piece of wood, you know, because it's not new. You know, you want to take a young piece from last year and cut it, and you make a little wedge. There's several different ways to whittle it, you know, and people's got their own special thing. If you just cut it into a wedge shape, and then you cut off your rootstock that you want to put it onto. And you just, you know, you slit it. And when you slide that piece in there, it's really simple, that simple. You slide it down in there, and you, instead of focusing on, I've got to line these up, you know, I've got to find that magical spot, you know, where they're touching. If you can put it in there, it's not going to work every time. I heard this earlier too. Quantity over quality. Do it a bunch of times, because you know, you can get a lot of these material, you know, so do it many times and you'll succeed on many of them. Instead of the cameo layers focusing on lining them up, kind of have them in there somewhere where you know that they cross a little bit. If they make a cross there, make that connection, they will grow together. The whole thing will grow into one, you know, it'll fuse together, I guess you would say. But I read that out of people that didn't know what they were doing. You know, instead of reading the professionals, you know, they're not telling their secrets. You know, but I learned this from people that don't know what they're doing. And it works. You know, if you can get them to touch, now it's not an exact science. It's not going to work every time. But if you go out and get 100 scions off of the tree you like and do 100 grafts, you're probably going to get a bunch of them to work on accident, you know, because there's an old saying that you can throw a scion at an apple tree and it'll grow from it. You know, you can just throw the wood at it and it'll start growing, but that's not true. But I guess if you threw it, maybe it is. I don't know, but, and you can do that and you can produce trees. It sounds really simple. You say, yeah, well, it's something I may not need or whatever, but you can build an entire orchard off of this method, you know, and not pay a dime for it. The only tools you need for a basic grafting is a razor blade and some tape. You just make your, well, you may need, you know, a bigger limb. You may need something to cut it, you know, a saw or whatever. But little hand pruners, maybe. That's all you would ever need. Unless you were doing something that's big around, you would need a chainsaw. But if you're just doing little stuff with little plants, like, you know, little trees and little scion, a razor blade and a piece of tape is all you need. You know, that's not going to break your pocketbook, and you can do hundreds and hundreds of clones, is thousands. There was one guy I was reading about that that's his livelihood, and I read this, and it's unbelievable. I tried to visualize it. He grafted 900-something thousand trees in the season, and it's only like, he only done that in like a couple of months. And I was like, you know, that's amazing. I watched a video of him, and he does this stuff just like, you know, he's got little helpers, you know, but he's doing the actual few, putting them together. And I mean, he's doing them, and almost 100% of them work. So it's not something that can't be done. Everybody in here can do that stuff. And you can do it with, you know, tomatoes and stuff too. It's not just a fruit tree. But, and it's good. These trees that you grow from seed, and seeds are pretty much free. I mean, you know, they're not free if you're having to buy the apples, but, you know, you can find it. It's not unobtainable. If you don't have any money, you know, you get your seeds, and you can start growing them. And if a seed, and we don't have a lifetime to study these things ourselves, but, you know, as it goes on through, you know, living, other people living, they figure things out. But if you grow a seed, it's not going to be, more than likely, it's not going to be a dwarf tree like you would buy in a store. More than likely, it's going to be a huge tree because, you know, it's pretty much what it's going to be. It's not something you want to plant, you know, right beside your house or, you know, where you... In 10 years, you know, you're going to have a huge tree taken over. But there's been people that's grown these trees from seeds throughout history, which it's rarely done anymore. Hardly anybody does it. There was a story about a handy apple tree. They called it handy, and it's extinct now. And I'd have to look it up, but they made liquor out of the apples, and that tree was, I think, 52 or 54 foot tall, and I forget how big around. And they made like almost 200 gallons of liquor off of it every year. It was enough for the whole town. And they ate the apples too. The town ate the apples, and you know, they sold the apples. And plus they made all this liquor off of one tree, but the tree died, and evidently it was never propagated. So, you know, we had the potential to, by growing things this way, we could create something brand new. And when you grow a tree from seed, or, you know, any type of fruit tree, that's your plant. You can name it what you want. You know, like if I grow a seed, you know, that's my tree. You know, if it has a really good apple, I could actually patent that, you know, and people would have to pay me to propagate it. And when you're grafting trees for a subsistence, I guess, self-sustainability, you will look for fruits with different qualities. Like some of them will keep for a long time. There's apples that will keep for 2 years. People don't realize that. That's how some people in the old days survived. There's one called a Matamutsky. I think that's how you pronounce it. There's a story of a lady that kept those apples in good condition in a root cellar for 3 years. And she done that routinely. And that tree will grow in a southern environment. So you've got trees that, you know, won't grow good here, but there are a lot of them that will grow good, especially in the mountainous area. You want to look for long keepers. You want to look for early apples or whatever fruit you like. So you may want fruit in June. So you would have you some varieties that produce early, some that produce mid-season, and some that, what they call a winter apple, that you can keep all winter, and you can have that food source all winter without refrigeration or anything. You may have to bury them in the ground or somewhere to keep. But one of those is native to here. It's called the Arkansas Black. It's a long keeping apple, and you can buy those pretty readily. And you've got to have a pollinator. A lot of you know that. If you've got a, you don't want to have just one fruit tree. You want to have a different variety that's going to pollinate it. You're getting all backwards and forwards. If you're going to grow seeds, you got to stratify them or scarify them. It's you can't, a lot of seeds you can't just plant them and they automatically grow. You've got to give them cold treatment, which is basically putting them in a Ziploc bag with a little moisture in there and keeping them in the refrigerator, and that will make them think that it's winter time, and it will cause them to germinate. And you can make a seedling apple tree can take years and years and years to bear fruit, because it's basically like a baby. You know, it's growing from a infant, and it goes through a juvenile stage, and then after it becomes an adult, it starts to bear fruit. So it could take 20 years to get a seedling. It could do it in 2 years. You just don't know. But if you're growing a seedling and you want it to produce earlier, there's a trick. It took me, I found it out, you know, accidentally. If you've got an older tree that's bearing fruit and doing good, you know, it's a 15-year-old tree, you can take a cutting off of a seedling and graft it onto that tree, and that tree, that graft you put on there, it actually jumps it into adulthood. It takes on the adult characteristic of the tree that you have grafted to, and it will start on. That's how they do that in scientific studies. When they want to figure out what kind of fruit they have, they put it onto a mature tree, and it speeds it up a whole lot. There's another type of budding of grafting called tea budding, and I've had a lot of success with this. I was amazed at it. And this is where I sought most of my information about where was the cambium layer, because tea budding, you really all you need with that is a razor blade and I use the tape, pipe tape, thread tape. You know, it's kind of stretchy and it sticks to itself. And you can use rubber bands, you can use cut up plastic, you know, wrap. Electrical tape works really well. But T-budding or budding is where, if your buddy's got a tree you like, and you've got an apple tree, or in the summertime when the sap really flowing, where they call snipping. I almost forgot about that. When the bark's slipping, and you can cut it, just make a little T in it, and it'll open up really easy. If you had to tear it or whatever, it's not snipping. But if you take your knife, your sharp edge, and cut into that tree, and it kind of pops, and it slits, and almost like water runs out, and you open it up, and it just straight to the wood, and you think, well, you know, how does that work? Well, you take your bud, you just cut a simple little bitty small bud, and you leave the little leaf. You can look all these things up if you're more interested in it. Leave you a little handle on there, you know, where your leaf is, so you can maneuver it easier, and make you a little tee in there and slip that bud in there and wrap it up, and it just grows. And it's almost, I guess people think it's magic, because it's almost like with that cambium layer. They say the best answer I could get was it's the juices intermingle with each other. So when you slide it in there, I guess those juices get together somehow, and they know their cells, I don't know if they talk, but they start reproducing and they grow together. And tea budding is something that's really, really simple. Most of your trees you buy are done with a tea budding process. The guy that done the 900 and something thousand grafts, he done it with T-budding. So he basically just cut a slit on the T, put it in there, T, and he done 900,000 in like 2 months, and he was getting paid for every one of those. So he probably made a lot of money. He goes all over the country doing this. But, you know, we can do these things ourselves. We don't have to have somebody else doing it for us. You know, can your foods, you know, learn how, if you have, you're going to have an abundance of fruit, you want to be able to preserve them. One way is long keepers or winters, winter apples, they'll keep, you know, without canning, but, you know, if you got an overabundance, you can can the food. You may want to have some trees that are late bloomers. A lot of different trees bloom at different points. And you want to have some that bloom really, really late in case you get, you know, some late frost. And maybe you'll still have a crop by those that the frost misses them. And you can profit from these things. You know, you can learn how to do it and make you up a bunch of trees. And you can make a little bit of money by selling the trees. You can sell the fruit. Wood glue works good for covering up your cuts. You don't have to go buy some expensive stuff. And I think I'm about covering it all. And these things, you know, you've heard me talk a little about it. I don't know very much about it. I'm not a professional, but you can look these things up on your own and figure out, you know, you may learn more about it than I know. But it's really an amazing thing. And it's good for, you know, if it hits the fan, if we have this resource, people have properties or they have access to properties and you don't have to necessarily own these properties. You can plant these trees. And if they're, you know, really productive, like I was talking about the handy apple tree, you know, if you can get a couple of trees here and there to produce enough to feed, you know, several families, that would be a great thing for us to have, you know, be a great resource.
I don't have a great thumb. So where do I plant it in my yard? How do I know where's a good spot?
Well, that will help. You want to have a, you know, some good dirt there. And now a seedling tree may grow more vigorously and more than likely will be more vigorous than a store-bought tree, so it could grow in a more worse conditions. You want to have a lot of light for fruit trees. You want them to get a lot of sun. You don't want to plant them in a shady area. Maybe shade coming from the evening shade, but you want them to get a lot of morning and midday sun, especially.
How fast should they grow? Like, how fast should they grow?
The store-bought trees, you know, they're kind of set in stone on how they grow, you know, because they've been manufactured. But a seedling tree can grow really fast. Like, I've got some that I've grown from seeds that's grown 8 foot in 1 year. And that's just from experimenting, you know, me planting seeds. Yeah.
how long is it till they produce?
Now, that's unknown on a seedling. On a seedling, it could be a very long time. And that's where your grafting comes in. If you plant a seedling, there are trees that do fruit. I'm glad you brought that up because I about forgot about that. There are trees that produce more precociously. Is that how you say it? Precocious? Like a Wixen crab apple. That's a crab apple that I really like. And it's about that big. It's a little over two inches round. Now, those trees, just for example, they'll produce in 2 years. If you take a cutting from a Wixen that I have, I could send you right now's a good time to take Scion wood. I could send you those and you could graft those onto another apple tree and they should produce in 2 years. Now a seedling could take 15 to 20 years to produce, but that's not set in stone either. Like a Wixen, if it has that characteristic, a seedling could produce in 2 or 3 years. And that would be really good. And like if you're experimenting like I'm doing, and you grow a seedling and it starts producing in 3 years, you'd be like, you know, that's great, you know, because you know that that's a science. You know, you've answered that question and you can say, well, I can write this down. This tree, you know, produces in 3 years. And I've read some stories about people planting seedlings and they produce in 6 years pretty, you know, they say 6 years is kind of a, you know, maybe, but they could take a lot longer than that.
Okay, the root tree, what diameter are you looking for the root tree, and what size of the limb of the seedling, I mean, of the...
Generally, the easiest to work with would be about pencil size, or a little bigger.
Or both?
Yes. If you're doing it like that, now you can graft on to a much bigger tree. You can cut one off, you know, this big around and do what they call bark grafting. And you can take your little pencil size. Your scions are going to be about pencil size every time, or maybe a little bit bigger because you're only taking last year's growth. So however big that is, you can use. If last year's growth is that big, you could use that when you
did. Where are you going to find it? Do the root, I mean, you can grow the root. Where are you going to find the graft? I mean, you got that part, but you don't have the part that you graft.
The variety that you want to graft onto it, you would have to know where a tree is to get it from or order it. You know, somebody that has it.
You can order?
Oh, sure. I just got one. I got hundreds of scions in just the other day, a bag about this big, 3 pounds of wood for free from the government, Geneva, New York. They have a program that it's kind of hard to navigate their website, but it's called GRIN, G-I-N, and I can send somebody the link if they need it. And they'll send you scion wood. You just put down, you're doing research, and you're looking for... You're doing research on disease resistance or something, just and they'll send them to you for free.
Okay, you're saying wood, is that the graft part or is that the root part?
That's the graft part that's going to have the fruit.
That has the fruit.
Yes. The rootstock I hadn't talking about.
Does the rootstock have any bearing to how fast
yes.
the tree will grow?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. That's why the ones you buy in the store only get so big. You know, they call them a dwarf or semi-dwarf. And, you know, that's been manufactured for companies to make money. If you've got a dwarf tree, that tree may only get 6 or 8 foot tall, and it's going to bear a lot earlier. That dwarfing stock, the root stock in the ground, is sending its characteristics into the scion that you've put on top, and it's telling it to hurry up and bear fruit. You know, we're.
You said the crab apple grows real fast, right? Or you said there was a crab apple time.
Yes, there's.
So why would you not use that as a root and get whatever type fruit graft that you want and put it on that crab apple where it would grow fast?
Now you could do that. You could do that. Sure could. That's. I'm not real familiar with numbers on that science part of it, but
it should grow faster than the
it may bear you mean bear fruit faster?
Right.
Yes, it should. That's what they're using basically. Yes, that's what they're using basically now with their root stocks that you buy in the store. That's one that they've bred, you know, and to do that, what you're talking about, and that would actually bear apples too. You know, if the top of that graft right. dies off and it just grows, the rootstock grows on what they call its own root. It will it'll bear fruit too. I don't know, you know, what they would be, but there's one I don't know how to pronounce it. It's called I just say antivoc. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's a rootstock what they call a standard, and it makes a big tree. And that rootstock actually makes really good apples. If you just buy, and you can order those seeds because they grow pretty true to seed. That's why they use that.
Well, why would you want to buy seeds if you draft them? I mean, you said that the seeds...
Because you have to develop the rootstock first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're buying seeds... Go ahead with your question. I didn't...
Okay. Say you want a Yellow Delicious, and you use the crab apple for the rootstock. Why would you buy a Yellow Delicious seed when you could get a Yellow Delicious stem to put to the graft of the crab apple root, which would grow much faster than just the Yellow Delicious seed?
Yes, you could graft onto it.
Is that correct? I mean,
yeah, you could do that. If you wanted to graft your Yellow Delicious onto a crab apple rootstock,
correct,
it would do that, which a crab apple is really the same thing as an apple. It's just a crab apple is classified as anything below 2 inches.
Yeah, I understand, but you said normally a crab apple will make the graft grow faster.
Yes, depending on what variety it is.
Oh, depending on the variety.
Yes, like the Wixen crab apple.
Well, that's what
I'm saying. It if you grow that on root, you would have to get that actual tree to root on its own. So how you would do that is you would actually have to, if you were just doing that with one tree, if that's all you had was one Wixen tree, you would have to grow that tree into the ground, or you would have to take an air layer off of it. You would have to take that actual tree and get it to grow its own roots. Okay. And then plant it.
You said that you could water some. Could you order that Wixen crab apple root? Or would you have to?
I'm not sure if they have that, you know, available, but
oh, really?
You can make it yourself real easy. Just one way to do that is if you have a seedling and you graft your Wixen onto that seedling and put it deep down into the deep enough into the ground where that Wixen wood itself is going to grow its own roots. And then you can take that and do the stooling process and make a whole bunch of Wixens that way. And then you can use them for root stock or however you wanted to do that. But you have to get that variety of apple to reproduce that variety of apple with its own roots. You have to get it to grow in its own roots and then take cuttings with those roots and do that. But, yes, sir.
Is there a particular variety that you would that you would say a new person would be best served starting with, like as far as the total yield that the apple tree or whatever kind of fruit tree would have in a season?
Yes, I would. Like that Wixen, it's a highly productive tree, and I'm not sure if it's self-fertile or not, but you've got to have another tree that's going to fertilize it with apples. Not every fruit tree, like a lot of your peach trees, are self-fertile. But you don't have very many self-fertile apples, like Granny Smith's self-fertile. Yellow Delicious is self-fertile. And they'll pollinate just about anything, but you really need two or three trees because they've got different... I haven't memorized all that. We've got a triploid and different types of ploids. I don't know what they are, but that pollinate each other. But Fuji's a good tree. But there's hundreds of varieties of apple trees that you could go with, and you would just have to research, you know, what you like. And just look up like your most precocious, you know, your most early bearing and heavy bearing. The one I was talking about, Wixen, I just personally like it. And it's a heavy producer, and it's an early producer. There's another one called Granny Winkle that's like that. There's Terry Winter. There's Winter Banana. There's a whole bunch of them. I couldn't say one would be the best, you know, over the other. It just, you know, you'd have to... You know, look at do some research. A good company to just look at apple trees and read about it. Knowledge, information that's online is Big Horse Creek. They've got a bunch of varieties. It's called Big Horse Creek Farm in North Carolina. I've got several trees, and they'll ship you sign wood too. You had, I think it's about $3 or $4 a little stick of wood. And you've got Century Farm Orchards. They're really good with the old southern varieties, you know, that grow good in the south. And there's a lot of information. There's a group called NAFEX, North American Fruit Explorers. And I'm in that group. I've never done any business with them, but you can, they're like a Scion trading group. You know, you can say, hey, I want this variety or that variety. You just kind of trade out with each other, and they ship all around the country. You know, and there's thousands and thousands of apple varieties, and I'm sure there's a lot of peach and plum and stuff that I don't know about. But, you know, while we have these resources with the internet and information, you know, we can get these things and going, you know, among ourselves, you know, and that way we'll have them. You know, we won't have to rely on somebody that we don't know from California or New York or something to get these materials from. You know, we can have it within our communities and people that we know, and we don't have to go to Home Depot and buy anything. And we can actually have growing from seed. We can have new varieties in the years to come, you know, that we can name. You know, we can put our name on it. Yes, sir.
I know that Mendelian genetics, McGregor Mendel, the monkey, did experiments on hybridization of plants that differ from DNA and living creatures and human DNA. But when we talk about hybridization, creating new life forms, that
cambium, I believe, is how you pronounce.
Okay, so that you said those undifferentiated cells, that layer, they're kind of like human stem cells, and how to get decide what they're going to turn into. So if you were to graft a different species, like I see hybrid fruit sometimes in the grocery store that's a mixture of, you know, plum and apricot, and they make a different fruit that's a mixture of, you know, nectarine. Do those new hybrid fruits, that are half one fruit and half another, come from grafting one fruit onto another type of tree?
No, they're actually like your plums and nectarines and stuff are in the same family, I guess you would say. And they can breed together, you know, through their pollination. But they don't do that. They don't get that through grafting. I've heard people say that, but I don't think it can. You know, I'm not going to say it can't be done, but you can graft. You got to have the plants in the same species, I guess you would say. Like you would want to graft an apple tree to an apple tree or a prunus. I think it's like your peaches, plums, apricots, and all those can crossbreed and hybridize. But I don't think grafting on would affect it. It may affect the size of the fruit a little bit, but.
So if you're grafting, you would just need to, you could change the variety of apple to another variety of apple.
Yes.
But you couldn't do
There's been a lot of people have tried that, and I've read that different species can support the life of the other plant for a period of time, but it doesn't last long. Now you can, I don't know what can be done, you know, with today's knowledge and technology, but you can graft certain apple trees to pear trees and vice versa, and they will live and produce fruit, but I don't think you can, you know, graft a peach to an apple, or, you know, I don't think that one would work. I've never seen anything like that. I don't think you could graft a apple onto an oak tree, or, you know, or anything. But, you know, people try, you know, no telling. Maybe somebody will figure it out.
On pollination, do you need a yellow apple to a yellow apple, or could a red apple go to a yellow apple in pollination?
They've got that pretty much down to a science, if you want to look it up. Yellow Delicious will pollinate basically any tree.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. And most of your white-flowered crabapple trees, your little bitty crabapples, most of your little crabapple tree, most of them, not all, will pollinate all other apples. Now, there's some apple trees like the wine sap apple that won't pollinate anything. It don't. Its pollen is sterile. And I think that's called a... I've read all these things, but my memory fails me, but they've got all those things down to a science. But if you plant a Yellow Delicious tree, that's pretty much going to pollinate anything you have.
Okay. Does that Yellow Delicious tree have a need to be pollinated by...
Somewhat.
I mean, can the Red Delicious pollinate the yellow?
I believe so. I don't think the Red Delicious is sterile, so I believe it can. I believe it can. They say, as a rule of thumb, to plant 3 apple trees of different varieties, and that way, within there, somewhere, they're going to pollinate each other. But now, the there's another one called Winter Banana, and it will pollinate anything, any other apple tree. And the Winter Banana is a strange apple tree because that's one of the only ones that will graft onto a pear tree. Because if you want to, they use that as what they call an intergraft. That's where they actually graft, you got a pear tree, and then they graft the Winter Banana on it, and then they graft the other type of apple that you want on top of that apple. And so it makes a bridge in between the species, I guess you would say. But for some reason, that Winter Banana grafts over to a pear, and you can graft a pear onto the Winter Banana. Now, why is that tree one of the only ones that does it? I don't know. I can't go that deep, but it does work, though. And I've got the Winter Banana, too. It's a really good tree to have on, you know, if you've got other apple trees.
Well, the pear tree is not as strong as an apple tree, is it? Would you want to do it the other way around? Would you want to graft the pear onto the apple instead of the apple onto the pear?
I guess you could, but not. I don't know.
I'm saying the apple tree is a stronger wood.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. I guess that, you know, would make sense. But I've read a lot of people, you know, grafting the apples on the pear trees. I hadn't heard a lot about grafting the pears on the apples. I guess, you know, I hadn't...
I've seen a lot of pear trees destroyed by the wind and
yeah.
storms.
Yes, sir.
Where an apple tree will stand.
Mm-hmm. Now, those pear trees that everybody plants in their yard, those things, they ain't no good. They just break over.
Yeah, those are just ornamental.
Yeah. Now you can cut those off with a chainsaw, and put fruiting pear trees onto those trees. So if you're, you know, in a situation where you know where some of those trees are that you have access to, you can graft fruiting pears onto those trees. Sure can. Sure can. I've seen videos where guys goes down a driveway with a chainsaw and just whacks them all off and turns them all into fruit trees. Sure can.
Huh.
Yes, sir.
So, I've been in the bad habit of buying dwarf trees from Walmart thinking that they were going to be good producing trees. You're telling me I could use the root system on those trees, chop the tree off, you know, to a certain height, and then graft on a tree onto it that would produce better, that would obviously grow taller and produce better?
Well, your rootstock, that dwarfing rootstock, is going to dwarf whatever you put on it.
Okay.
So it may grow bigger, but if you put something that's really vigorous on there, it may do what they call outgrowing the rootstock. It may grow too fast, and the rootstock not grow, be able to keep up with it.
Okay.
But if you want to get those trees that you have, if you want that variety, if there's any way you can, there's air layering, you can look that up. I haven't had any success with that. which it can be done because I think it takes about 6 months to a year, but you can actually put dirt around, you can put a flower pot or however you want to rig it up and put dirt around your limbs on that tree. And when they start growing roots into that dirt you have, you can just cut it off and plant that, and you'll have, you know, you'll be cloning that variety.
So would you recommend I just go ahead and do away with the whole dwarf tree, semi-dwarf tree system, and go with a non-hybridized variety, or?
It would be up to you. How big are they?
Well, one's several years old, and it's never produced, but I've also got mulberry trees on a property that cause a, I guess it's called mulberry blight or something like that.
Okay.
So that's a situation I'm having with my apple trees on my property.
Do they have pollinators, or I know the Yellow Delicious.
I've got several trees.
Okay, so it should be.
It should be pollinating, but it's not. But I think that's mostly because the mulberry blight is like the all the leaves turn yellow. Now I can spray twice a year to kill that, but.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a variety that isn't affected by mulberry blight. And I was just wondering if I could use some rootstock from the dwarf trees to grab.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you sure can. I don't think it would work fine. I don't think you would get a bigger tree, you know, but it could still graft onto it.
So if you wanted a bigger tree, though, if you wanted, like you said, a 30-foot tall tree or whatever, you would want to plant a rootstock for that tree then?
Yes.
Okay.
And basically, the way you're going to get that is planting from seed or ordering that rootstock. If you plant some seeds, they're more than likely going to be big trees.
It's my understanding, though, that like you just can't take any seed and try to germinate it and plant it, though. If you go to Walmart buy an apple, it's my understanding that you just can't take seeds from that and germinate them and then plant them. Is that false, or?
Some things that's true, but I haven't had any trouble with germinating apple seeds.
Okay.
But I've read on some seeds, like different types of berries and things, that when they come from overseas, they have to go through a radiation process. And
you can't take an avocado and plant it and expect it to be a producing avocado tree.
Yes, you can.
You can get it to grow, but I've never had anybody that has it. From seeds,
it could take a long time, like up to 20 years. And that's
my understanding under the hybridization that they've been doing with these plants. Those, a lot of them went sterile, and where you can't take your seeds and plant them. That's the impression I was made.
Yeah, I've heard that about some things, and I don't know if that's necessarily true, because I've never had any problem with growing anything from seed. As far as fruit trees, now if you grow a seed, you know, like with the grafting, if you want an Arkansas black tree and you grow a seed, if you get that if you cut up that wood, that new wood off of and graft it, and you got to do it the right time of year too. I really didn't cover any of that, but you know, you'll get that Arkansas black off of that seedling tree. You know, that may take a little longer to get fruit. That's where you got to look into your fruit trees that are known to produce, you know, in a couple of years, and known to produce really heavily. And then you want to have a tree that's adapted to your environment too. You know, like some trees just don't do good here. They do good up north.
Want like a Washington apple to, you know, try to bring it down here and grow it, because obviously that's that tree is suited for Washington.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I've always, like, you've heard heirloom seeds, obviously, right, for vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't just take a tomato seed from a tomato you bought at Walmart and germinate it and grow it and have it produce accurate, you know, because it's a hybridized form. That was the impression. I didn't know if that also was true for apples or whatnot.
And just on that, the hybridization would depend on, apple trees are really radical on the way they their offspring are. You can have a big apple, you know, that produces, you know, really, really good, and grow a seed from it and get a dime size apples, you know, so it's a real variancy in what you're gonna get. But before I forget, on taking your scions, I talked, you know, that's mainly what my talk was about. If you're taking your scion wood, this is the time of year to get it. You take your scions when they are dormant in the winter time. and you store them in a refrigerator. You put them in a sealed container, like a Ziploc bag or something, and just put a little bit of moisture in there, enough to keep them. You want it to be 100% moisture inside their container. You don't want them to be wet. You just want to keep them moist, and until everything starts growing, and you've got that dormant wood, and when your trees start to push and start to grow in the spring, that's when you take that dormant wood and put it on to your own tree. So you want to take your sign wood in the wintertime. Now summer budding is really easy to do. That's something that everyone can practice this year when the trees start slipping, like in the later part of the summer. You can just practice with, cutting your little buds off, get you look it up online, and they got several, shows you how to do it. Cut your little buds and slide them in there, just kind of mix and match and, see how it works for you. And I've had a lot of success with that. And that's something, anybody that can get around can try that out.
And what's the site in New York that you were talking about earlier to get
the sign? That's GRIN, Grin Global. I think they call it the National Germplasm Repository. It's where they keep all the genetic stuff from around the world up there, and for make sure that they keep these things alive. And you never know when that's going to go away, because that's a government funded thing. It might get cut off, and they might mow everything down. we might not have that resource anymore. But it's kind of hard to navigate. I can send you a link, or somebody a link. I can put it on my Facebook or something. But you can get seeds from there. Anything. I mean, it's not just fruit trees. You can get grasses. You can even get animal stuff. I don't know what that is. I don't know if they send you a piece of meat or what it is. I don't know. Maybe it's eggs or sperm or something. But you can get all this stuff that they have up there in this repository thing. But I'm not into. I haven't tried any anything too wild stem cell research or anything. On that thing, if you order something from there, you want to put down that you're doing it for research. Maybe you're going to teach a class on it, or you're trying to improve productivity. Just put something down like that on it, and they'll ship it to you. But that's about all I got. Unless anybody's got some questions, I have the resource of trees. If anybody needs, a seedling tree or something that they want to plant on their property, I can get you that. I'm not trying to make money off of them. I'm just trying to get everybody, to be thinking about doing it themselves. That's my goal. But if anybody wants a tree or something, a seedling apple tree, I'll have it for our people. Sure will. Yes, sir. That's all I got.
That's a very interesting subject that I was completely ignorant of, and I know you guys are probably shocked to hear me say that, but it's true.
As always, you can go to the Schildwald Network WordPress site or simply type in ArianWarrior.com to find out more about this active white nationalist preppers collective and boots-on-the-ground political activist organization, the Schildwald Network. You can also hear more speeches from Schildwald Network meetings and see video of Schildwald Network activism by going to the Billy Roper YouTube channel. Included in this week's Billy Roper YouTube channel excerpts are a recording of Jacob Goodwin calling in to this week's Schildwald Network meeting and being read a letter written by a woman in Charlottesville whom he saved August 12, 2017 during the Unite the Right rally. Until next time, this is Billy Rope for Radio Aryan and the Rope Report, telling you as always to think racially, act locally, but no matter what, keep it white.
Can you hear the student band? I think they're getting out of hand. Well, you know what happened to those who complain? We've got to stop them seeing light. Let them think it's all right, 'cause the fire outside to keep them entertained. Well, the wells have not run dry. Do we really need to lie? We'll say it's a national emergency. We're at a wedding full of clowns, and we'll kick them while they're down. Get the banks control, 'cause they are friends to me. Let's go and find a better place. We'll call it New America. Won't it be a lovely place to be? Imperial material, the mind of New America. The best idea since democracy.
Listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.